Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm Tiziana Deering. Let's look ahead to tomorrow's show. The Lawrence City Council is at odds with its mayor, its own mayor, accusing him of making a land grab for development without consulting them. We're going to check in on what's happening with WBUR's own Simone Rios. That's tomorrow on the show. You're listening to Radio Boston. And we talked to Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey this hour about $335 million from the federal government for a massive project on the Mass Pike. There's this viaduct in Alston under I-90 that's crumbling, and it's a stretch of the pike that already has a lot of complaints about traffic flow, blocking usable land, lack of green space, that kind of thing. So after years and years and years of negotiations, all the key parties appear to agree on a $2 billion plan to get rid of that bridge, straighten the pike, put it at grade with the Charles River, and clear the way for a brand new neighborhood in Alston. Such a project, as you can imagine, has massive implications for everything from traffic to housing. So here to talk about that with us, Christian Milneal. He is the editor of Streets Blog Mass, and Kate Dineen, who is president of A Better City, which is a group that has been advocating for this project for over a decade. Christian, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And Kate, great to have you.
Thank you.
So this thing is called the Alston Multimodal Project. Christian, did I miss anything in terms of the key pieces of the design?
I mean, we could spend an hour talking about all the pieces of the design. It's a massive, very complicated project. But I think you hit the high points.
Great. And Kate, you chuckled when I said years and years and years. How long has this been in the making?
Well, A Better City has served on the formal project task force since 2014. So at least a decade of work underway, and really a huge, massive win for the project and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with this recent federal grant secured by Senator Markey and the congressional delegation. So years and years of work and a tremendous amount of momentum right now to try and get this massive project across the finish line.
And so, you know, to put that in perspective, $335 million in the federal grant. Price tag right now stands at about $1.9 billion. There are contributions that will come in from Harvard University. Boston University is giving land. The city of Boston will have some money on the table. I believe the MBTA will have some money on the table. There's still a few $100 million gap, though. Yes, Christian?
Yeah, and that $1.9 billion cost estimate is a few years old.
Oh, I remember the big dig.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's going to go up between construction cost inflation and then just as the engineers go in and say, oh, well, we actually need this part to be a little bit wider and then this part. That cost is going to go up. So there are still big unresolved questions about filling the financing gap and how that's going to happen. The state does have this big transportation financing task force that's beginning to do some work right now. So that might be part of the conversation. But the tentative plan right now is to use about $1.1 billion in state funding to fill that budget gap. And then Harvard is going to put in about $90 million, which is about 5% of the project cost. Of course, Harvard is going to be a major, major beneficiary of this project because they own that 90 acres. That's suddenly going to be very valuable real estate if and when this happens.
It'll be developable, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. They've talked about making this area the next Kendall Square.
Yeah. So, Kate Dineen, is this one of those cases where $1.1 billion in state money is enough that this thing will get started, but there's a big question mark over how much it's going to cost and how we're going to fund it to finish it? Or is this one of those cases where until we know where pretty much all of the money's coming from, no shovel's ever going to hit the ground?
I'm confident that this project's going to get started and it's going to get finished. You know, we have unprecedented alignment right now with all three levels of government. And that's, you know, why this major federal funding opportunity came to fruition. So with the commitments that Christian outlined, opportunities for value engineering, really identifying cost efficiencies, and that's a process that happens with any big infrastructure mega project like this, this is going to happen. The Healy-Driscoll administration has committed to expediting the environmental review process within the year.
Which is the thing that has to happen now that all the parties agree on how this thing's going to happen.
Exactly. And it's very important. And it's very important that that happens in a timely manner so that these federal funds can be obligated by 2026. And the governor herself has said that they're optimistic about a groundbreaking in 2027. So after over a decade of work, to hear that coming from the governor, to see her leadership, to see leadership from Secretary of Transportation Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, you know, I have never been more optimistic, bullish about this project, not just getting started, but getting finished as well. And one piece that I would emphasize about the project scope is the development of a new multimodal hub and commuter rail station at West Station. I think that is something that really speaks to the broader impact of the project. It's not just a highway straightening project. It really is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, as Senator Markey said, to right a wrong of the past, but also to ensure that we are moving toward our climate goals of getting cars off the roadway, getting folks to use the commuter rail, building connectivity for bicyclists around the region as well. So I really don't want to gloss over the impact of a new station at West Station.
We're here with Kate Dineen of A Better City and Christian Milneal of Streets Blog Mass. And we're looking at this big project should get underway. The plan is 2027. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey announced more than $300 million of federal funding for it last month. That's going to straighten a piece of the Mass Pike in Alston, get rid of a viaduct, put some green space in place, bring the pike down to grade with the Charles River and do a bunch of other things. All right. So I want to play a little bit of a game here. I've been watching this thing for a while. So you guys are going to pretend you have red buzzers, right? Mm-hmm. And if I get a piece of this wrong on why this is a big deal, I want you to just kind of go, right, and stop me, okay? There were tons of different versions of how this might work over time that all began with, we've got a viaduct crumbling and the pike goes over it and we got to fix the viaduct. Mm-hmm. Yes, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the various versions had, at one point, we had to build a highway temporarily in the Charles River so that we could fix some stuff over here and then move it back. Is that really true, Christian Milneal?
That was briefly the plan. So there's been a lot of, public debate over how this was going to happen, because the state wants to be able to maintain traffic on the turnpike, wants to be able to maintain two tracks on the Worcester commuter rail line. But there's this one section of the highway and Soldiers Field Road and the railroad that go through a very, very narrow section.
You call it the throat.
The throat, mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually right here in this neighborhood near the BU campus. And figuring out how to keep traffic moving and keep parts of this infrastructure moving while also basically rebuilding the entire turnpike and commuter rail tracks and doing that in phases was a very complicated puzzle.
Okay, so you can hit the red button on me if you want on this, Kate Dineen, but will it really keep traffic moving? I mean, isn't one of the concerns that once this thing starts, it will be unbelievably painful on the Mass Pike for a stretch of time?
So that is a concern, right? We're looking at a large infrastructure project, construction period of probably 6 to 8 years. And so A Better City and others have done a lot of analysis about ways to optimize construction staging, ways to mitigate traffic impacts during the construction period, because it's imperative to keep not only roadway traffic flowing, but also the commuter rail moving. So we're confident there's a way to do it. MassDOT has been very collaborative. I think it is going to require a lot of creative thinking and incentives to, during the construction period, trying to draw folks out of their cars and onto the commuter rail and ensuring that that commuter rail has reliable, frequent service so that it is the best option for many folks, especially commuters coming in and out during the construction period.
Now, the 90-acre parcel of land that Harvard University owns, Christian Milneal, is a big piece of that. You know, they've envisioned a Kenmore Square, as you've said. What about solving things like our housing pain points? One argument might be, well, this could lead to gentrification further in an area where that's already a risk versus creation of things like affordable housing. Are there pressures being applied to ensure that sort of the outcome is what a broad range of people would want in that area?
Yeah, and that's sort of going to be in the city of Boston's control. They're going to control the zoning for this area and what ultimately gets built. The mayor, of course, is another Harvard graduate like the governor. So the mayor has said, you know, she wants a strong, affordable housing component. Having lots of housing on this site, by the way, is going to help with traffic because the more people who live in this neighborhood, the fewer people you have potentially commuting in from the suburbs.
But if it's privately owned, is there leverage to do that? Or is there additional land that is not privately owned where such housing could be built?
I think the city does have quite a bit of leverage through their inclusionary zoning policies. Also, the fact that the city and the state together are putting in the massive amount of funding and the infrastructure financing to make this entire project happen. There's not going to be a neighborhood unless this infrastructure gets built. So that's a huge leverage point as well.
And of course, 17% affordable plus 3% Section 8 in new development for the inclusionary zoning that you're talking about. What else should we be watching for here, Kate Dineen?
I would say that the city of Boston has already gotten a jump start on visioning for a new neighborhood at Beacon Park Yard. And it's difficult to oversell how transformative this development could be for the region, both in terms of the creation of affordable housing, but also the creation of jobs and connectivity with other life sciences and biotech hubs around the region. A Better City conducted an economic benefits analysis that took a look at GDP and job creation associated with both the construction of transportation facilities and development at just 40 acres of Beacon Park Yard. And $2 billion may sound like a big price tag.
It does.
But it will pay for itself rather quickly in terms of GDP benefits and jobs created. So when you look at the project holistically, it really pencils out as a smart investment. And I think the time is now.
So Christian, in our last 30 seconds, is there anything that might stop this project from happening at this point?
Well, I'm really glad you asked the senator about the sort of conflict between rebuilding, you know, 16 lanes of highway and calling it reconnecting communities. It's a little bit, there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance here where the state has embraced some very aggressive climate goals, and yet they're talking about this, you know, massive, fundamentally, it's a highway project. So, you know, when Kate was talking about value engineering, you know, a lot of advocates are really hoping they reconsider and think about a future where maybe we don't need this many lanes of highway traffic, and maybe we can move more people on the Worcester Line commuter rail line.
All right. Going to be interesting to continue to watch it. Christian Milneal of Streets Blog Mass, Kate Dineen of A Better City. Christian, I know you've been watching this. Kate, you've been in the middle of it. I'm sure we'll be talking with both of you about it. One more time at least.
Many, many years.
Many years.
We look forward to it.
Thank you.